Looking forward to the things that God has in store for us today, and I'm sure that you are as well. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. You're a fine-looking bunch. I would like for us to draw our minds together just for this next few moments in preparation for the directions that God has for us in this service. Will you help me do that right now? Let's pray. God, we are grateful today for your people. We're grateful today for the times that we are visited by you. I ask you, God, to guide the words that are spoken today. Prompt the thoughtfulness of my mind. That would be in tune with heaven, that you would speak directly to our souls, enlighten our spirits, and direct our steps by the words that are delivered today. Help us to embrace your presence in every aspect of this service. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. So good again to see you. And I'm thankful to be home. We had my wife's father had some surgeries. And we were out of town last week due to those things. And last weekend, I should say. It was a very hurried, tiring trip. We dashed to Florida, and everybody thinks Florida's a vacation. This was no vacation, trust me. We dashed there and we dashed back. And so it was, but God was with us, and we've done very well with our travels, and I'm thankful for that. Appreciate it tremendously, and I'm thankful to be here today. Amen. Today we're going to look at the next portion of the series that I've been going through. This is the lesson of the wind, and I feel that this is as important as we can find the intensity, I should say, the intensity in my spirit. It's not a heaviness. It's not a heaviness. It's very intense that has been placed on my spirit to deliver to our lives what, as the writer and the scripture would say, let us hear what the Spirit saith to the church. Let's hear it today. Amen. So let's receive that. I will again use Ecclesiastes chapter 12 as the beginning part, verse number 8. Vanity of vanity, saith the preacher. All is vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. Again, I love the parables that Jesus gave us in his teachings. I love the way he brought to us different promoted doctrines and lessons. He did this through parables. The Old Testament used proverbs to bring to us those lessons as well. And I understand there's a lot of things that are not included or brought to us in the sense of proverbs. There's a lot of lessons to be learned that are outside of the proverbs caption, but there's also a lot to be learned from the proverbs. So as we read here, and I'm just going to skip down to the latter part of this chapter and just let it be brought to us in this manner. As we read here, we're going to find that he was establishing a basis of how God operates. And this is what he says in verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every work into judgment, whether with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. I am so thankful for mercy and grace, aren't you? I really am, because if there were no mercy and there was no grace, you and I wouldn't be sitting where we are today. We would not be in the presence of God. Especially if you look at it from the concept that is promoted to us all throughout the Old Testament. If that, in fact, was what was instituted by God today, we wouldn't be here. We would not be in the presence of God. I won't go into the theological side of that for the express purpose of getting to what this lesson of the wind really is and what God would speak to us. But I will tell you that according to the New Testament, it specifically states that it's not a Jew that is one outwardly, it is a Jew that is one inwardly. We're not born after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Amen? So if that was not in place, you and I wouldn't be in the presence of God today. We might be somewhere in a place of worship, but would not be in the place of worshiping one true living God. But because of grace, because of mercy, because of what happened with him coming in the form of flesh, of man, offering himself as a sacrifice, and giving us that presence of his Spirit in our lives, without that, we are not of his, are we? Amen. So what then is this lesson? As we've progressed from all of the different things, and I will tell you, I never finished squeezing everything out of the lesson of the witch. I know I didn't, but that's okay. We'll move right along. We found out why that issues were there with Saul having inquired of the witch, because he had inquired of God and God just shut him off. Sometimes it does seem like the heavens brass, doesn't it? When we talk to God, one writer called it that. I've talked to you. Daniel even had a situation where he presented the need to God and 21 days later before he got his answer, and he felt like it was in dire need of an answer immediately. This was a 911 emergency situation for Daniel. And 21 days later, he finally got his breakthrough. All of a sudden, he has this conversation with the angel. And he said, look, I heard you the first day. And I was dispatched from heaven the first time that you brought this up. But he said, the prince of Persia withstood me. And I just had to fight a battle to get here. That gives us an understanding into the spiritual world, doesn't it? It gives us a little glimpse into, as that pulled back the covers of how that the spiritual world operates, it helps us understand that God does really hear us. And when he does respond. But sometimes things get in the way, and it's not always us that gets in the way. Amen? So understanding how that the spiritual aspect of heaven works in on our behalf and in the having the impact in our lives that it does, let's look at that. And I'm going to tie every bit of that to our lives today. How is this relevant? I love the Word of God, and I love reading through the Word of God. I love studying the Word of God and teaching the Word of God. But I will tell you, it is very imperative that you and I have it relative to what we're facing in our lives. I love to read about the different stories of the different happenings and the interactions between man and God and man. But then how does that benefit me? How does that help me? So that's the task today. That's what our job is today, is to understand and grasp that God put these things in his word for our learning and admonition. He did this for a reason. As we get to this part of the wind, we'll find something that, to me, I'm going to pull from something that we probably are somewhat familiar with. In some areas, it will be more familiar than other areas. But I'm going to use different parts from different directions of the word. In the book of Ezekiel, you'll find, and I'm not going to read this, but in chapter 37, Ezekiel chapter 37, this is a very familiar to a lot of people. But how many is familiar with the Valley of Dry Bones? And God came to the prophet and he told him, he said, "You, what do you see out here? You see this Valley of Dry Bones?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Prophesy to him. Prophesy, start talking to him." And so he did. He started prophesying. Bone came to bone and it all connected, and everything happened as the word came. Now that right there is very, very important. It did not happen until a word came. That's what prophecy is, isn't it? God gave him a word to speak. But sometimes it is just those things that are evident that needs to be spoken. He was told to prophesy to this valley of dry bones. But he wasn't told specifically in our recording or reading of this what to say to those dry bones. But what he did know was what was needed. And so he started speaking what needed to be spoken. And this is where I like to rely back on the very beginning of the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1. When Jeremiah was visited with the word of God and he said, I can't speak. I'm a man of unclean lips. The Bible says that a seraphim went to the altar and took a coal, placed it on his lips and said, "You've got clean lips now. They're not unclean any longer." And he said, "Furthermore, you were chosen from your mother's womb." There's a lesson in that to be realized, that God knows our steps before we ever take them. And he knows our needs before they ever arise. But sometimes, and we're going to find this out in Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14, we'll get to it in just a few moments. But Exodus chapter 14 is completely filled with so much interactions and so many lessons that I will never get through it all today. But I will tell you what is important is to understand that sometimes God leaves it in our hands as to how to overcome situations. We're going to find this out in Exodus 14. God does his part. Sometimes he just equips us to do our part and we're just not aware of it. But he tells this prophet in Ezekiel, he said, "You prophesy to this valley of dry bones," and he begins to speak a word. Now, he's not been told that it's going to happen. He just speaks it in faith, doesn't he? That's the way faith operates. The scripture tells us that faith is the evidence. It is the substance of things not seen, or is the evidence of things not seen. And do you know that we have this as a hope? Faith? That's what it is. And how it operates. He said in the New Testament, this is what he said about prophecy. He said, "You prophesy according to what works in you." That's powerful. What that does is puts it on us. It doesn't leave it on God. It puts it on us. This is our responsibility. How do we speak to our situations? There's a power in the word, ladies and gentlemen. And if we didn't realize the essence of the power that's in our word today, I want us to understand the seriousness and the power that is in what is spoken. Do you know that there is the power of life and death in the tongue? What does this have to do with the wind? I'm getting there. We're getting there. All right. Prophesy to the valley of dry bones. Every bit of his prophecy in the first actions that are responsive to what he speaks are to those bones. And he gets it all together, and there's a valley of bodies now, but there's no life to it. It's just a bunch of bodies, and they're dead. Then God says, speak or prophesy to the wind. That's good, isn't it? And he begins to prophesy to the wind. Do you know what John talks us in the New Testament? John talks to us about the wind. And this is when Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. And he was a ruler, and he was kind of afraid to be accounted as one of the believers. And so he went under the guise of darkness, the cloak of darkness, to get some answers. And he came to Jesus by night, the scripture says. And he says, I want to know about the miracles. This is pretty interesting if you study this. I want to know about miracles. That was his whole approach to Jesus. I want to know about miracles. And Jesus responds with, except a man be born again. I didn't ask anything about being born again. I ask about miracles. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter in too. How cannot? He immediately picks up where Jesus has brought him to in his mind and in his spirit. And he says, how can I, as an old man, enter again to my mother's womb a second time? And he said, except a man be born of the water and of the spirit, he cannot enter in. Oh, wait a minute. He starts talking immediately about the wind. He says, the wind bweth where it listeth. Whithersoever it wants to go, it does it. We don't know where it comes from. We can't see where it goes. But this is the way God operates. You see, sometimes we can strain at gnats and swallow camels, can't we? Because what God gave us as an examples in the Old Testament that I mentioned earlier about not being included in just a proverb or a parable, but he set examples for us, was here was Abraham that we know as the father of the faithful. And the New Testament tells us how he conducted himself in faith. And he says, he didn't consider the deadness of his own body or the deadness of Sarah's womb. And he staggered not at the promises. There's way too many times that we hear the things of God and the promises of God and the word of God, and we want to know how before we start moving. Sometimes we don't know how the wind blows, do we? We can't determine where it comes or where it goes. It just goes wherever it so chooses. God directs that. We don't. And do you know that sometimes there arises a tempestuous wind, a contrary wind to life? In fact, in the book of Acts, and I'm not leaving Ezekiel 37, but in the book of Acts 27, we'll find a man of God that had such an encounter with God, but he had a call on his life and he knew where he needed to be at a point in his life. And so even though he had been taken captive and even though the rulers had looked at him and said, we don't have any reason to charge this man. He's not done anything worthy of death, but he has appealed to Caesar, Acts 25 and verse 11. He said, I want to go to Caesar. I want to go to Rome. This was the same feeling of intensity in his life that Jesus had and that he had spoke about some time ago. And he said, I must needs go to Samaria. Why do I want to go to Samaria? They didn't have anything to do with him. He said, I got to go there. He was doing this for a particular reason. Paul felt that same feeling. Oh, I'm going to appeal to Caesar. I'm going to Rome. I want to get to Rome. He'd already just been prophesied to and had his girdle bound up in a man that had felt the unction of God and said, whosoever this is going to suffer much hurt. It was Paul's. Had a lot of opposition to get where he needed to be with God. A lot of adversity, but he gets on this ship as a bound prisoner. And they start sailing. Acts chapter 27 talks about them getting to a place, and he knew that this ship was going to Italy. They got to Fair Haven. And he tried to convince them. Here was Paul, a man of God, but he is bound. He was in chains. They just didn't really believe the man in chains. And he said, gentlemen, I think we need to stay here. This is one of the very few times you'll ever hear this word in the whole entire Bible. But they decided that that place was not commodious to them. It didn't have all the nice little places that they like to visit over the course of their stay in port. They didn't have the little night spots, and they didn't have the little eateries and wherever else that they wanted to frequent. It didn't have them, and they said, oh, we're going to go on. We're going to go on. And it was already past the time of safe sailing. But they set sail, and this is where it gets really interesting to me. And a soft wind or a south wind blew softly, the Bible says. And the captain and the leaders and the owner, they supposed they had gained their purpose. And they sailed on. And when they had passed all of the places of safety, the Bible said, and there arose a tempestuous wind. Has anybody ever experienced a tempestuous wind? Something that was adverse? It looked like it was going to destroy everything that you had worked for? Anybody ever had feelings like that? Let me tell you what it does. It starts messing with your mind. It starts getting you feeling like you're not going to make it. You start questioning, why did I ever make this kind of commitment to you, God? Because about the time I did, everything started falling apart. Don't tell me you don't think like that, because we all have done it. You don't have to shake your head and stand up and shout and say it. I already know. I'm not the only one. I'm just the only one admitting it at the moment. Every single one of us have made those kind of statements in our mind. We may not have voiced them, but we've made those statements. Those thoughts have crossed our mind at some point in time. I've committed my life to you, God. Now why am I going through this? Here was Paul. Arose a tempestuous wind called, and they even named this one. Yours ever got so bad you named it? This one was your Clyden. Or as some people in other places call it Eurocladon. I'm going to call it from the southern boy style, Eurocladon. We have a tendency to hold out some of our I's and E's and O's a little longer and A's a little longer than other people. All right? We put long A's in there and long O's and long I's where other people don't. It's all right. I'll say it my way tonight or today. Although he did tell me that I had about 5 hours on this mic, my wife was going, I wished he hadn't have told you that. This tempestuous wind of adversity came up, and the angel of the Lord came and stood by Paul in the middle of this. Paul had already told him, I perceive, brethren, we're going to have a lot of hurt that's going to come, not only to the ship, but only also to our lives. We're going on. They had already had a word, but now then they had a wind that was backing up that word. You see, if we go back to Ezekiel chapter 27 or 37, you're going to find out when the word came, the wind came. He said, speak or prophesy to the wind. And this is going to take place. And he began to prophesy that breath would come into him. And when he did, there stood an exceeding great army. Here was some that were on the side of right now, because it started with the word. I want to tell you, there is something that is powerful in what we speak. I know that people have a tendency to say, well, we're just talking back and forth and back. Let me tell you something about what we speak and how we speak. We need to be watchful of every word. There's power of life and death in the tongue. There's this saying that children used to say a lot, and you may have even remembered it. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Let me tell you, some of the worst hurt that people have ever administered to another is not in how they've been treated, but it's how they've been talked to. It leaves wounds that nobody ever sees, but it will impact your decisions and your actions and reactions for the rest of your life. And it comes from a word. Do you know what the Bible talks about, the word? It says this, that the word of God is quick and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, and it divides asunder the soul, the spirit, the joints, and the marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Do you know, ladies and gentlemen, that we are created in his image and in his likeness? And God has allowed us to have the ability of life and death in what we speak. You can kill a newborn baby in the house of God by how you talk to them. You can destroy the very foundation of faith by how you talk to somebody. Or you can build a strong foundation of faith by how you talk to someone. Did you know that faith comes by? Faith comes by hearing. So you can build up by exhorting them. Be careful what you say. God prompted Paul, and he said, the angel came and visited him. He said, we're going to lose the ship, but there's not going to be a hair of your head harmed. You're not going to lose it. I wished I'd have been on that ship some time ago because I done went through that part. He didn't speak that one to me. I wasn't on it. I've been through my set of storms. You know what happened? Life happened. Adversity arose. The wind of adversity came. And what they came out with was exactly what the Word said was going to happen. I'm not finished with that, but for time's sake, I'm jumping back to the book of Exodus chapter 14. I told you there's so much to be said about that chapter. This chapter is so fraught with the interactions with God and man and God and all of this stuff. This is when, in Exodus 14, here's a group of people that have just walked out with a high hand. And I haven't left the wind. Okay, you're going to find it in this chapter. But they've just left Egypt with a high hand. God has brought them out. They just implemented the very first Passover. God's killed the firstborn of Egypt. And they've killed the firstborn of the lamb. And they put the door over the doorpost, and God's delivered them, and now they're out here in the land of deliverance and the hand of deliverance, and all of a sudden, they look, and here comes Egypt behind them. Here comes all of those limits behind them, and they're looking at a sea in front of them. They do not realize what God has brought them to is another step in the process of deliverance. They look at it as an obstacle. God looks at it as another step in the process. And this is what they tell Moses. They begin to murmur. Let us alone, they said. Those words. Just let us alone. Leave us alone. Don't mess with us. Don't bother us anymore. It would be better if we were back in Egypt. Just let us alone and we'll go right back there. You see, that's what I was referring to earlier when I said about the time we make that commitment and we get to feeling so great about what God has done for us and delivered us in a service, and the power of God is so powerful, and what it might not be in a service. You might have just had an answer to a prayer and you're just up and up and up and feeling good and rejoicing, and all of a sudden there comes a wind of adversity. Something crops up and you look around and you see the devil's just as big as he was before. Except this time he's coming after you with more intensity. And this is what happened. They get there and they're looking at a sea that they can't cross. And they're looking at an army behind them that they can't fight. And they don't know a way out. Let us alone, they said. And this just opens up a Pandora's box of all different analogies that happened from this point forward. So instead of responding to those people, Moses starts talking to God. And instead of God responding to those people, God just starts talking to Moses. Now, this is not the funny part. This is a serious part. Later on, Moses and God get to fussing back and forth as to whose people they really are. I love that part of the story. Just a few verses on over in another chapter, you'll find Moses saying, God, this is your people you brought out. And God said, Moses, this is your people that you brought out. I love that chapter. Neither one of them want to take the credit of who these people really are. But at this point, God doesn't respond to their murmurings, and Moses doesn't respond to their murmurings. Moses turns and talks to God, and God, he says, God, what do I do? And God just tells Moses, in his own words, I've done my part. Now you do your part. It's up to them. It becomes their responsibility now. Do you know at this mentality right here in chapter 14 sets the tone for their all of the rest of their life? This sets the tone. They do not want the responsibility that the word places on their life. They don't want it. They do not realize what they're looking at because they're looking at it from the eyes of the flesh. Paul writes about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. You start reading with verse number 1 in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and you're going to find them to where he gets to verse 2 in that chapter, and he said, they were all baptized in the cloud unto Moses and in the sea. They did not realize that this was a part of the process. They were looking for the promise without the process. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you what happens. When you understand and you desire a promise, you're not getting to the promise without the process. It doesn't work that way. And the process, most every time that I find in the Word of God, includes some wind. Moses goes back and he talks to them. And God tells Moses what to do. He tells him he don't talk to the people. He talks to Moses. And Moses has to go back and tell them, okay, this is what I'm going to do. And he goes over and he looks at this step in the process, this sea. He raises his rod. He stretches forth his hand and he speaks a word. And what happens is, the Bible says, and an east wind blew all night long. All night. Everybody say wind. This time it might have looked adverse, but it was bringing a solution. And it blew all night, and it started parting waters. The Bible says that they walked through the next day, they walked through on dry ground, and Pharaoh and his army. Now, I understand there's some other implications here and other directives that we can find here, but for the sake of getting through and understanding the concept that God wants us to have in this process of living for him in our lives, let's march. Let's march, okay? So the angel that was in front of them went behind them and was darkness to Pharaoh, but was light to the Israelites. And they went through this Red Sea, dry shod. Pharaoh saw this open pathway, and he turns and takes his army right into the middle of this process, this step in the process. It was salvation for the believer. It was death to the adversity. Now again, the analogies that we can look at here and the lessons that we can learn from this is, once we understand the power of the word, that the wind will respond to the power of the word, it will help us overcome adversity. We're all having times of adversity, do we not? We have times of struggles in our lives, don't we? About the time we start feeling good, all of a sudden things will go awry and something happens and makes us feel like that we're probably on the wrong track, when all truthfulness, we're not. Here was Egypt. The power of Egypt was buried in the same place that they had just been buried symbolically. They were all baptized in the sea, the Bible says. They were all baptized in the cloud. The wind came and brought them deliverance, didn't it? Now, very quickly, if we jump to Acts chapter number 2, the Bible says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, y'all remember those scriptures? They were gathered in the upper room in one mind, one accord, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Do you know why? Because the word had went forth. And God was bringing a life-changing experience to these people. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I believe it is time that we experienced another life-changing experience. Doesn't mean that I doubt one moment of our visitation from God and Him filling us with His Spirit. But I believe it's time that we embraced a life-changing experience yet again. How do we do that? The word came and said, you tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. This is the promise, was it not? The word came, the wind came, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost that set upon each of them like as of cloven tongues of fire. Now, very quickly, let's go back and realize something that I stated very early on in this lesson. And understanding Daniel, when he began to talk to God, the angels were dispatched. The powers of heaven were dispatched to bring about an answer to the situation, but they were withstood. Ladies and gentlemen, we have all kinds of requests that we have permitted or promoted to heaven, do we not? And it seems like we're not getting anywhere sometimes, doesn't it? Sometimes it seems like we're beating our head against a brick wall, doesn't it? But let me tell you something. The Bible says the continual hammer, a beating of the hammer breaketh the rock, doesn't it? It also says the ringing of the nose brings forth blood. It does. It says it right there. Don't ring the nose except the devil's. And the devil's not sitting beside of you. It's time we spoke a word. It's time that we look at the adversity of our lives. And I'm not talking about the sickness that you're dealing with. I'm talking about their spiritual wickedness in high places. We're taking this to a step beyond the moment. Do you know what? When those people of delivered group, that children of Israel, when they got past looking at their own selves and that next generation that realized that this was bigger than them, do you know what they did? They took the land of promise. The first generation that came, they said, oh, we were little in their sight. We were like grasshoppers in their sight and in our sight. The next generation come along, they were not eating bigger. They were the same size. And the group that they were coming against were the same size. It's how they looked at themselves. They quit looking at themselves and started looking at God. When we look at the situations that our world is in right now, our nation is in a shape, is it not? Our world is in a shape, is it not? We're in dire straits. It looks like there's no way out. Let me tell you what happens. When we will speak a word in faith, the winds come and it breathes life into the promises of God. About the time that you think that you're looking at nothing more than another valley of dry bones, and you go back into your memory and you pull that dusty drawer out, and God reminds you again of the promise that He's given through His word. You shall be the head and not the tail. You shall be the lender and not the borrower. Ladies and gentlemen, God's word is still true and it's still powerful. The moment that we get our minds off of ourselves and get our minds on God. Do you know what Paul said in Acts chapter number 25 when Agrippa looked at him and said, why don't you talk to me? Why don't you tell me about it? And this is what Paul said. I love this little phrase. He said, I think myself happy. Look it up. Look it up. Look it up. Those words was what came out of his mouth. That's what was included in this writing. I think myself happy. Sometime we just got to think ourselves happy, don't we? We just do. We have to control what we think about. I think myself happy. I wish to
God, I was like you, except these bonds. But he said, I'm not. I'm with God, and I'm with God all the way through. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a commission from heaven, and that is to promote the power of God. And the way we're going to do it is by the word that we speak. Look at this mountain and speak to this mountain. Look at the adversity and speak to this adversity. And the wind responds. You know, my prayer today for you is, as the prophet looked at his servant and said, open his eyes. And when his eyes were opened, he saw round about on the hills a host that was a heavenly host. And there was more with them than there was with the enemy. We have more. We have more, ladies and gentlemen. When you speak, the wind responds. Amen. I appreciate your presence here. I am so thankful for your being here. Remember the service in just a few moments. We have 11 o'clock service, and we have some great times in God to look forward to, do we not? Could we give the Lord a hand clap as you stand, and let's get ready for the next part of the services.